If when you hear truth, if you believe it's truth, if when you hear truth, if you do not come with the determination to practice that truth, here's the warning, something will happen to your heart. You'll get calloused. You'll be very good at hearing truth and immediately dismissing it, marginalizing it, not letting it penetrate. That's the danger.
The Bible tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Connect with Skip Heitzig today as he shares how godly thoughts lead to godly actions and how you can actively cultivate those thoughts every day. But before we begin, we want to invite you to study the words of Jesus in the very places he spoke them.
Skip and his wife Lenya are taking a group to Israel in 2022, and you're invited on the journey. Visit places like Nazareth, the Jordan River, the Dead Sea, and Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount and the Garden Tomb. And that's just a quick look at the trip. Find out more about the trip at inspirationcruises.com/CABQ.
Now we want to let you know about a resource that will give you critical insight into what exactly is going on there in Israel and in the Middle East, and why it's important for you to know.
The beating heart of Bible prophecy is the land of Israel and the Middle East. Joel Rosenberg has his finger on the pulse of the world-shaking changes happening right now, and he unveils them in his new nonfiction book, Enemies and Allies.
This is the first book of its kind that takes you inside the Oval Office, inside the palaces of the kings and crown princes, the presidents and the prime ministers in Israel and in the Arab world, as we ask them, what do you think about religious freedom, about making peace with Israel, about the threat from Iran, about U.S.-Arab relations, U.S.-Israel relations.
Enemies and Allies, from multiple New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg, takes you on an unforgettable journey inside the turbulent Middle East. You'll go behind closed doors to hear from the very kings and crown princes, presidents, and prime ministers who are leading the charge. Enemies and Allies includes exclusive, never-before-published quotes, insights, and analysis from the author's conversations with some of the world's most controversial leaders. Your hardcover copy of Enemies and Allies is our thanks for your generous gift of $35 or more today. To give, call 800-922-1888 or visit connectwithskip.com.
Okay, we'll be in Philippians chapter 4 for today's study. So let's join Skip Heitzig.
Notice the word pure. Whatever things are pure, it means wholesome. It means morally pure. It's the opposite of smutty. David said, how shall a young man keep his ways pure? Then he answers his own question, by taking heed according to your word. So God's word will give you purity. You know, you've heard the name John Bunyan. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He was put in jail for his faith. And in the fly leaf of his Bible, he wrote this: either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And the Bible has the ability to keep a person pure. So this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I've discovered something about people who say, well, I won't read the Bible because it's so filled with contradiction. It contradicts itself. Well, let me translate for you. It contradicts them. Usually people won't read the Bible, not because when they say, well, there's so many contradictions. I always say, show me one. Mr. Knowledgeable about the Bible, show me a contradiction. Well, I know they're there. I don't know which one, but okay. Maybe you won't read it because it really contradicts your moral behavior. Like Mark Twain used to say, it's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me, it's the things I do understand that bother me. So whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good repute, good report, if there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. By the way, not just are there 70,000 thoughts that bounce around your brain a day, you know how many advertisements you're exposed to daily? Now, I don't know who finds this stuff out. Honestly, I don't. They could assign a number to it. I'm researching it, and I corroborated a few places. But we are told by those who I think know that we are exposed to 5,000 ads a day. 5,000 ads a day. You know how advertising works, right? They're smart people who know how we think. And the idea of an ad is to influence the way a person thinks about a product in hopes to motivate the person to what with the product? To buy it. So they want to influence your thought life in hopes that you might pull out your wallet and buy what you think you understand about that product. This is why we have to filter what we think. Think carefully, think righteously. Third, think actively. Verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So after presenting a list of attributes for your thought life, he now shows that the thoughts should lead to deeds. Now again, please notice the two main verbs. The first in verse 8, meditate, think, ponder. Second in verse 9, do. These do. In the original language, tauta prosite. That's a command. That's the parent, the present active imperative. It's a command. So tauta prosite is translated literally this way. These things, I'm commanding you to keep on practicing, keep on doing. That's what Paul says in verse 9. Why does he write so strongly? Because he knows that we can never separate the thought life from the outward life, the inward thoughts from the outward action. That what we ponder is what we're going to practice. What we think about is what we're going to do. What we learn is what we're going to live. By the way, this is always the hope of a pastor. You know this. Any leader, any teacher, any pastor always has the hopes that if we can expose people to truth through the preaching of the word, that the mind will attend to that, and in attending to it, somewhere in the process, enough people will go, I believe that. Because if they attend to it and attend to it regularly, they'll believe it. If they believe it, they'll do it. It's always the hope. Is to graduate to the doing phase. This is why Paul writes in Galatians 4, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your life. This is why he adds the list in verse 9. He doesn't just say, hey, all the things you meditate on, do them. Please notice he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Why does he do that? Well, because he understands that you can learn something, but not really receive it. And you can receive something, but not really hear it all. And the graduation comes when you go, I've attended to it, I've listened to it, I've exposed myself to it, I believe in it. Now I'm going to try it on for size and practice it. I can only speak from personal experience. I grew up in a church. I was exposed to the Trinity, Jesus is God, virgin birth, death on the cross, resurrection. I heard it all my life. It made no difference at all. At all. At all. I was 18 years of age, something changed. I listened to a sermon by Billy Graham. I've heard that stuff before. That's familiar stuff. I believe that. I believe that, and something has to change. There's going to be that's called repentance, by the way, that turning around, changing how I think about it and what I do with it. So in the last 35 minutes, we've been exposed to truth. And some have listened casually. Some have listened actively. Some actually take notes. God bless you. I love note takers. It shows me you're serious about taking this truth home. Others listen to it very casually. Others listen to it almost like, are you done yet? Can we go now? And still others just, well, they nap. They nap during the time. I'm glad that I can be a cure to your insomnia at some level. You also notice that in your bulletin, you're always every week given an outline. I always want to give my outline to my assistant to produce in the bulletin because I believe it's just another level. It adds handles to make truth memorable so that it can add to the life change. But let me give you a warning now. For all of us, if when you hear truth, if you believe it's truth, if when you hear truth, if you do not come with the determination to practice that truth, here's the warning, something will happen to your heart. You'll get calloused. You'll be very good at hearing truth and immediately dismissing it, marginalizing it, not letting it penetrate. That's the danger. So that you could come effectively every week and remain unchanged because your heart grows harder and harder because you don't determine to actually put that into practice. And what that means is you can have what we call churched unbelievers. Unbelievers, not on their way to heaven, but they go to church every single week. And the truth hasn't penetrated to change behavior. This is why James says, you know the verse, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because he said, if you do that, you deceive yourself. And then he goes on by saying, for if you just listen and don't obey, it's like looking at your face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, we all understand that analogy. We do it every day. I got up this morning, 5:30, I'm in the turn on the lights in the bathroom, look at my face in the mirror, same reaction that I have every day. Uh-oh. It's like, this is me in the mirror. Now, I look there and I go, I can fix some of that. A lot of what I see is irreparable. But I'm good with that. But now, if I walk out of the bathroom and forgot what I just saw, then you're going to see me like this. Woohoo, hey, what's up? So, in getting a revelation of truth, the mirror, I now have to have a consideration of how I'm going to implement something to change what I see. Fun little story. William Penn, some of you recognize the name. He was the founder of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It was named after William Penn. He was negotiating with the Delaware Indians for a parcel of land to make an exchange for, and they agreed that whatever land William Penn could walk around, circumnavigate on foot in a day, they would work out a deal. The next day, William Penn sent one of his young men at daybreak with a map to walk around until sunset, came back and encompassed 40 miles. Had the map, had the little markers to show it, went to the chief of the Delaware Indians, who was shocked that somebody actually did that. You know, he just said that, didn't expect him to do that, but he made a promise. They walked it, and that 40 miles became what is today the greater part of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That little illustration simply points out, here's a guy who simply acted according to a promise. There's a promise. You said it. You know, William Penn could have listened to the promise and go, oh, that's good. Hallelujah. I'm writing that down. I'm underlining that. I'm memorizing that. He said, I'm going to walk that. I'm going to walk that out. So I wonder how many promises of God lay in these pages. Untried. Not walked. So we must think carefully and righteously, but also actively. And you'll notice something. Paul says in verse 9, and he does this. This is something very Paul-like. He says, the things which you learned, received, and heard, and saw in me. Now, he's not saying he's perfect, but he is saying, I am an example to you. In fact, Paul does that a couple times in this book and a couple times in other books. He says, follow me as I follow the Lord. Here's the point. Find a good godly example in your life, because that will just reinforce good godly thinking. You'll see it lived out. There's an old poem that I memorized, and I've said 1,000 times. This is 1,001. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the words that you say. People hear what you say and they see what you do. So what is the gospel according to you? See, I take truth and I internalize it and I live it, and people get an impression of God based on me. So in effect, you are looking at the NSV. This is the new skip version. But I'm looking down at the NMV, the new matte version. The NCV, the new chip version. And we all are living letters. Like Paul said, you are, 2 Corinthians 3, you are our epistle, known and read by all men. So we're going to take the truth that's exemplified and that we hear, and we're going to live it, and we're going to become some kind of an example to others who watch us. Now look at how he ends that little verse. And, don't miss this, and the God of peace will be with you. It's the crowning achievement of good, godly, right thinking and living. God of peace will be with you. Now, I can't help but do this. Verse 7 ends, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts. Now it's the God of peace. And we love the peace of God, but we love when the God of peace is so intimate and close with us that we experience that intimate fellowship. Here's the point. If you think godly thoughts and you live godly lives, you'll feel God's peace, because the God of peace is the one that you're walking with. He'll be with you. Now let me close. You're going, phew, good. Let me close with some practical tips. This is just takeaways. Practical tips on wholesome thinking. Three things to walk away with. Number one, evaluate. Evaluate content. Very simple. You listen to things. You watch things. You focus on things. You meditate on a number of things. Evaluate those things. Now, what I'm going to say is going to hurt, because we're all Americans. Most of us are Americans, or probably all of us are. Okay, so this is according to the Nielsen Group. You've heard of the Nielsen ratings, television ratings. The Nielsen company says the average American watches 4 hours of TV a day. Okay, that's just a fact. The average American watches 4 hours a day. Now some of you go, well, I dispute that. I'm at 3.5. Okay. Bravo. Like it or not, here's the point. We fill our minds with whatever we happen to be watching on television. Now, I'm not here to tell you what you can watch and not watch. I'm not going to get legalistic. Let me just say, especially to parents, the average American adolescent will end up seeing 14,000 sexual references every year. Did you get that? 14,000 sexual references on TV a year. How many of those are righteous, holy matrimony relationships? One? Two, if like you saw the right show? So there is a bombardment of values that we expose ourselves to. Not only that, but by age 18, the average child will have seen 20,000 violent acts, including 16,000 murders. So just evaluate content. That's number one. Number two, punctuate. Punctuate your day with truth. Begin the day, end the day with truth. Get up in the morning, or whenever you get up. Some people get up in the afternoon. This is an early day for some of you. Whatever, you might have a work schedule. The point is, begin the day in the Word and close the day, not with a commercial on TV, but even if it's a short psalm or a proverb, just thoughts from God's Word to put your head on the pillow at night and go to sleep with those thoughts. Punctuate your day with truth. So evaluate, punctuate. And the third tip, meditate on Scripture. Now, when you hear a Christian say meditate, I don't mean put your hands out like this and go, Transcendental meditation, where you disengage the mind. Biblical meditation is the opposite. It's where you engage the mind. And to meditate on Scripture means you read it, but you don't just read in it, you feed on it. You feed on it. You ponder it. You take and emphasize a word and another word in the phrase, and you ask what it means to you. So it's really internalized. So evaluate, punctuate, and meditate. There was a couple who were married for 40 years. The husband died in this relationship. It was a loving relationship. The wife was left very, very lonely, didn't know what to do. She had a period of grief. You can imagine the kind of grief after being with a partner so long. Some of you know what that's like. This gal remembered that she had a friend who owned a pet store, so she just thought, you know, I'm going to go talk to this store owner. And the store owner said, you know, you ought to just get, I know it's not going to be a husband, but get a pet. So she looked at cats and dogs and fish and snakes. None of them was something she wanted. She wanted something to talk to. So the owner of the pet store said, well, it's expensive, but we have this parrot that just, it's a chatterbox, talks to everybody. She goes, I'll buy it. Bought the parrot, dished out a lot of money, took the parrot home, big cage. Came back in a week. The owner of the pet store said, that bird talking to you, right? A lot, huh? She goes, not saying one word, not a word. It's been a week, not a word. I sit there, I talk to it, not a word. And so the owner of the pet store said, well, have you thought about putting a mirror in the cage? She said, a mirror? He goes, yeah, it's funny, but birds, like parrots, like to look at themselves in the mirror. It sort of loosens them up. And the bird will start talking. So she bought a mirror, put it in the cage, came back 10 days later, hoping that it would have talked. And the guy at the pet store said, worked, right? She said, not a single word. He said, well, have you put a ladder in the cage? She said, a ladder? She said, yeah, you know, listen, birds, they look at themselves in the mirror. They like to get a little exercise, and they get a little exercise. They feel more at home. They're in their own space. That bird will talk. So she bought a ladder, took it home. A couple weeks later, came back. She's not smiling. Said, the bird is not talking. And so the owner of the pet store said, well, if you put a swing in the cage, like up toward the top of this large cage, what's going to happen is the bird's going to look at itself in the mirror, climb up and down the ladder, swing a little bit, make it feel like it's in its natural habitat, the jungle. Bird's going to talk. I can almost guarantee it. So she did it, bought it, came back, walked in the store a couple weeks later, mad. And before the owner of the shop could say, how's that bird? She said, the bird died. That expensive parrot is on the bottom of the cage, dead. And the owner of the store said, I'm just befuddled. Did the bird say anything at all? The woman said, yes, as a matter of fact. As that bird lay taking the last few breaths, it says, don't they have any food down at that store? Okay, so that's a lot like you and I, that we think about and we focus on things that aren't even important. When we're starving to death for the kind of truth that could transform us and make us dynamic. To feed on the right things is one thing. To learn them and assimilate them, be changed by them, is another.
That concludes Skip Heitzig's message from the series Technicolor Joy. Now, here's Skip to share how you can keep these messages coming your way to connect you and others to God's Word.
Well, no matter how difficult life might get, you can still have deep, abiding joy through Christ. Because when you invite Jesus into your life, He sets your heart free and fills you with His peace. The Bible calls it a peace that passes all human understanding. We want to share that great news with so many others, and you can be a part of that today. When you give a gift, you help take the gospel of Jesus to more people all around the world. Here's how you can do that.
give us a call at 800-922-1888 to give a gift, 800-922-1888, or give online at connectwithskip.com/donate. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Your support is vital to help connect more people like you to Christ. So thank you for giving generously. Did you know there's a great biblical resource available right at your fingertips through your mobile device? Skip has several Bible reading plans available in the YouVersion Bible app. You can dive deeper into several books of the Bible to gain new insights. Just search Skip Heitzig in the YouVersion Bible app. And be sure to come back next week as Skip Heitzig explains how vital it is for you to meet with other believers regularly. Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. Connection. Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.